Let's welcome our guest on today's programme, a man of many talents, primarily a broadcaster and writer, but he's also a jazz musician. I was fascinated to find out. Jay Rayner joins us. Jay, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. Lovely to be here.
Well, it's good to have you on the programme. And the reason we're talking, well, there are a number of reasons, but the primary one is that you are coming to Ivy Bridge, to the Watermark, Friday the 3rd of February, with your Ten Food Commandments tour based on your Ten Food Commandments book, which I've been reading and thoroughly enjoying. Is it easy for you to stand up and talk about food? I'm guessing it probably is.
Well, I put a lot of preparation into it. I mean, this is a proper piece of stand-up theatre, whatever you want to call it. And I do believe that to make these things work, you've got to plan it. So what people will see is I use audiovisual tools as a kind of second performer on stage, me bouncing off all the images. And it's 55 minutes of stand-up comedy about the way we eat and talk about food now. Do I find it easy? I certainly like being in front of a live audience. There's nothing like it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and it certainly comes across when we see you on television that it is a passion. I'm going to quote you from your book, if I may, because there's a line in there that I thought was particularly significant. You've said your dinner is important in keeping you alive. Well, we kind of know that, but nevertheless, perhaps I think these days we don't take enough note of that, do we?
Well, that was actually, I suspect, from the chapter where I'm talking about not mistaking food for pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way diet works. So we have this weird, hokey kind of portion of the media and various people in the food world who like to think that various foods have a medicinal effect, that if you eat enough beetroot, you can stave off cancer and chocolate will protect you from dementia. Now, the point I was making was obviously food is important for human health. If you don't have a good, balanced diet, you are not going to be very well at the end of it. But the idea that individual foods have a pharmaceutical effect is just scientifically illiterate. They don't. Even, Cancer Research UK dismisses the term superfoods as merely a marketing tool. And that was what I wanted to get across. So, each one of the chapters in the book, and in a way in the show as well, is a review of the whole subject rather than just a few slogans. You know, each chapter in the book is about 5,000 words, and I've gone on a proper investigative journalistic journey looking at the subject from all sides.
Yeah, and it's absolutely fascinating. It's a lovely looking book as well. Penguin Books are the publisher, and it took me back to my childhood when I saw it because the style.
I have benefited hugely from a deep affection I think the British people have for those original Penguin paperback images, and it's done out looking like one of the old-fashioned penguins. We did this first with a previous book of mine of just my negative restaurant reviews, which people like because they're horrible. And we did that in red, and now this one's come along in turquoise. It looks rather handsome, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's a great addition to the bookshelf. Tell me about how you became a writer on food, because you get the opportunity, don't you, to have so much to say about the subject.
Well, I've been a general journalist for almost, 30 years, writing on almost everything apart from sports. So I used to cover murders and terrorism, but also soft arts and all of that sort of stuff. And then one day, the editor of the magazine said, the restaurant critic is moving on, the current one. And I said, well, that's a job you can't apply for, isn't it? Because if you could, the queue would be out the door. And I said, but I would like to do it, because restaurants had always been a thing I'd loved since the age, when I was a small kid. I just never imagined you could do that for a living. Yeah. The magazine editor came back and said, good news, bad news. Good news is, I want you to do the job, but the overall editor of the newspaper doesn't, because he wants you to carry on as a news reporter. Somehow I managed to get myself in the chair and stick with it. And the great thing for me was, food is not just about taste or looks or aesthetics. It's not, that's crunchy, that's soft. Food talks to every aspect of our lives, doesn't it? It's about family and emotions and politics and the environment and sex and who we are. And as a writer, it's just an absolutely brilliant subject.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, when you think about it, if you ask someone about their holiday in whichever country abroad, probably the first thing they will talk about is the food, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely true. You mentioned that I have a sideline as a jazz musician. I play jazz piano with my own quartet. And there are these famous stories of jazz musicians who would go away on tour, and the only thing they'd come back with photographs of is their dinner. Because you know, the gig, then you had to play. But they were fascinated in each town about which restaurant they were going to eat in that night. Actually, that aided me as a jazz musician.
Yeah.
Because jazz musicians are on tour all the time. They're really obsessed by their dinner. And often it turned out they were reading restaurant reviews and so were willing to play with me because, you know, they'd read my reviews and wanted to find out what I was like.
Brilliant. What a great... I never thought about that. Actually, it reminds me also, if you... Spike Milligan's autobiographies always referred to the fact that when they got back late after a show, all they ever got was a cold collation, as he used to refer to it. There was this hateful thing that would be sat on the table waiting for them.
Oh, I know. Well, when I first went out on tour with my quartet, with a bassist and saxophonist and singer, first place we did, the rider was a bunch of sandwiches from a well-known supermarket chain. I looked at them and I said, look, we are the Jay Rayner Quartet. This cannot stand. We can't do this anymore. And so I got into a habit, which I continue to this day, of seeking out a good restaurant that's willing to deliver to stage door. And we eat properly before we go on stage, because I don't think you can go on and play, you know, hungry. You need to have eaten well. It's very good for the band to have spent time talking together and eating together before we go on and play together.
Of course, yeah. And that's right. And that's the thing about breaking bread together, isn't it, really? It goes back to the beginning of time, which brings us back to the Ten Food Commandments. There's a lovely picture with the press release. You do look like Moses, and I'm sure that's what you're supposed to look like.
Well, with my pizza boxes as the tablets of stone.
Exactly.
As I say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we did a big shoot, and there is one of those images for every one of the Ten Commandments, which is part of the show. It's one of the things I love coming up with, is devising all the imagery for it and the graphics, and building the audiovisual stuff. Mm. It's a properly thought out piece of work, this.
Oh, it's superb. Well, we can't wait to see you. So, just to repeat, Jay's at the Watermark on Friday, the 3rd of February. If you miss him there, he's also at the Beehive Honiton on the 4th of March. And
indeed.
That'll be a great night.
You can find all details of this on my website, jrayner.co.uk. Everything's listed there.
Yeah, and the book is published by Penguin. A snip at £6, if I might say so. Jay, a real pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much for your time.